If you missed it yesterday, it is brighter than the sun here in the studio. And that is because I now have a happy light. That's what they call it, happy light.
I honestly can't even believe that it's still on today.
No, yeah, no, it's going to be on every day for the rest of our lives, Raven. So get used to it.
You say that, but okay.
So if you battle seasonal depression, you're not alone. A lot of people have sat, right? So I'm one of those people. And I said I was going to get ahead of it this year by getting one of these lights. These are like the light therapy. It's just a light box that you buy on Amazon. I think this was like $25. And I don't know if it worked, but I read all the research and there's no negative side effects. So I figured, what the heck? I might as well just get it, right?
I'm guessing that they haven't asked an eye doctor because you're staring at this thing. But okay.
I mean, it does say in the book that was clearly written in China, don't look directly into the light with your eyes open for prolonged periods. I'm not sure what prolonged periods is, but yesterday I spent a lot of time looking at it. Oddly enough, trending in the news is that dopamine menus can help you keep the winter blues away.
Okay, I've heard about the dopamine menu, but what is it?
Well, go ahead. What is a dopamine menu?
No, I just heard the phrase.
Oh, you just
phrase.
Heard the term.
That's,
okay,
that's all I heard.
Oh, cool. It's really helpful.
Probably heard it in that meeting.
So what you have to do is you have to figure out the things that make you happy, and then you categorize them. So appetizers have the least amount of effort with like an immediate payoff, like watching a cute animal video.
Okay.
So I get it. Like when I get a video of my kids and I'm at work and I get to like watch it for a few seconds, it immediately brings me joy. That's an appetizer, right?
Makes sense. Okay.
Now, an entree involves a little more effort, but it can be paired with sides to enhance the activity. Now this is where I get confused.
This is getting complicated,
these,
all right?
Yeah, these are like the big things, like listening to music while you're cleaning the kitchen. And dopamine desserts are treats you give yourself, like ordering takeout instead of dirtying the kitchen you just cleaned. So I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, what are the things that make me happy that I would need this appetizer, this entree, this dessert, this
right? Side? Just give it to me instantaneously. Right. Make it easy for me.
And I was like, well, I'm happy when I'm on vacation. And then I was like, that's the answer? So this dopamine menu is just go on vacation?
Live on vacation.
Which is why I think I'm just going to stick with this light box here, because it's certainly working. And if not, at least we're well illuminated at all times in the studio.
It's a more practical and economic choice.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Today's selection.
I have the power.
The selections today are, number one, man dies at Planet Fitness and isn't discovered for 3 days.
Oh, come on, man. How can that even happen?
Number two, man discovers 115 stuffed animals hidden behind a wall.
Well,
and number three,
creepy at all.
Man arrested for shooting a tree with 9 guns.
I mean, you know, if a tree is looking at you with an attitude, you just got to learn to ignore it. All right. My therapist would say there's many steps that we could take to go ahead and de-escalate our anger. I'm going to go with Planet Fitness. How does somebody remain dead inside a public building for 3 days?
I promise you, this is going to leave you with more questions than answers.
Okay, great.
This has been all over the news. Mm.
Derek Sink was found dead in a tanning bed at the workout facility 3 days after he entered the building. He was 39 years old.
What? Wait a minute. I mean, that's a relatively sound, healthy age.
Sure was.
In a tanning bed? Nobody smelled that?
3 days? 3 days it took you to find him?
Derek's family tells local NBC affiliate WTHR that he had visited the Planet Fitness on November 8th, and his body was discovered the morning of November 11th.
I mean, I guess not a lot of people use the tanning beds at the gym anymore. They do seem icky at this point.
How could you be dead in there for 3 days before anybody knew? That's absolutely nuts.
His aunt also tells the news station that due to him wearing an ankle monitor, investigators determined Eric never left the gym after his arrival.
Oh my gosh, there's so many parts of this story that are so wrong.
I know. But I'm perfectly aware.
I mean, who knew that you could wear an ankle monitor in the tanning bed?
Right.
Wouldn't that like cross the streams? That's the thing.
I started thinking about it. I'm like, does he just get a tan line? Or maybe that was what caused the tanning bed to...
Right.
Do something?
Execute him?
Maybe.
Right. Yeah.
2 days after going to the gym, Derek was reported missing by his family.
Okay.
Elizabeth Len, a local woman who was visiting the Indianapolis Planet Fitness on the morning of Derek's discovery, said she detected a bad smell after entering the building on November 11th before realizing it was coming from the tanning beds.
I mean, so this person who's never been to the gym before goes there. And she's the one that smells it. Not the employees, not the people who monitor the area, none of that. She smells it and says, hey, somebody should look back there.
Yeah.
And then oh my gosh.
She continues and says,
"The tanning bed has a door, I believe. But still, why are we not concerned that the tanning bed has been closed for 3 days, potentially?"
Valid point.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. Like,
make her the manager of this gym.
Who's in charge of the tanning beds at this place that they're like, oh, if somebody's been in there for a while, they're getting really deep tan right now, they're just going to let it go. Isn't that the most wild thing?
This is crazy.
I don't know what's weirder. The fact that it took 3 days, the fact that it was Planet Fitness, the fact that it was a tanning bed, or the fact that he had an ankle monitor on.
Do they just go in there and spray it like they do everybody else, and then the next person, you're up?
No.
You know, bed three is ready to go?
No, you have to light that tanning bed on fire and get rid of it, right?
I mean, I guess.
I guess. This is one of those stories that, like, we need to hear more. Like, what happens now when they figure it all out?
I mean, if you can't ask the ankle monitor, who can you ask?
I guess so. There must be some kind of mistake.
Why?
Huh. I'm looking at this list and something is missing. Okay, so this week, the National Toy Hall of Fame announced its three new members. One is a game that I don't think I've ever heard of and played called Phase 10. It's like a gin rummy or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that one, you know, we can push that off to the side.
In the Toy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. The Toy Hall of Fame, like the most famous toys of all time.
Right.
Coming in second, deservingly.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Transformers. Yeah, okay. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they've got like 4 or 5 movies at this point. I mean, the great love story of Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox. Right. A lot of things going for them.
What? I remember Transformers, like my little brother playing with Transformers on the living room floor.
No, I love Transformers.
Yeah. And then the one that I can't believe it took this long to get here, and they had been nominated 7 times before finally getting in.
My little pony, my little pony.
I mean, you know the song.
Of course. I grew up on My Little Pony. And ironically, all three of these were from the 80s. And it's the first time that all the nominees are from the same decade.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute. My Little Pony isn't on this list. It had to be nominated 7 times. And you'll never believe the reason why it finally got in.
In recent years, there's been an entire fan base of sort of 20 and 30-something guys who call themselves bronies, who are fans especially of some of the TV versions of My Little Pony.
I was like, wait.
Why are we, we're giving rise to this now, at this point.
It's common.
This is what they're doing for clicks there.
That's
all right,
what they're doing.
Toy Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Listen, it's been questionable, their induction practices over the years. We've had this discussion every single year the list comes out, and we're like, wait a minute, how come Stick wasn't on there before?
Well, Stick is on the list, which I thought was crazy. I'm like, Stick is a toy, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
but
when you had nothing, Stick was, you know, it was pretty entertaining.
If it was 1904 and it was the Toy Hall of Fame and you put Stick on, cool. But not now.
Right.
And they say that they select by...
There are evergreen playthings that deserve being included in children's lives and grown-ups' lives.
Like a Stick.
Because they
right.
have shown their value generation after generation.
Like a ball.
Right.
Like something that bounces.
Yes.
Yes.
A ball is on the list.
You thank God.
Stick is on the list.
Right.
You know what's not on this list?
What's that?
Cabbage Patch dolls.
Oh, that's sad.
Is Barbie
in? I mean, who else is in, right? Like, are they doing it name brands?
Barbie's in.
Okay, Barbie's in.
Big Wheel is in.
Yeah.
A blanket is in. Blanket's not a toy. A blanket is a comfort thing. It's not a toy. Jigsaw puzzle is in.
Okay.
Like, there's normal things, too, like Hot Wheels and, like, G.I. Joe.
I mean, deserving.
Right.
Definitely. No question about it.
How is Cabbage Patch Dolls not on this list?
I don't know.
Maybe
next year.
You've got to
start the campaign now.
I guess now. Maybe if I get a bunch of 20 to 30-something-year-olds to start dressing up like Cabbage Patch Kids, I'll have a better chance of getting it in.
There's certain things that I don't want to see. And once they are seen, you can't unsee them.
That's a brony.
Oh, no.
Where do you hide the cash in your house? This has been all over the news.
The mega mansions of Kansas City Chiefs superstars Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have been targeted by a ring of burglars.
Oh my gosh. So both Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, they live about 10 miles from each other. They were burglarized the same night. Now, here's what happened.
Travis and girlfriend Taylor only discovered the burglary when they got home. According to police, the burglars made off with $20,000 cash and caused $1,000 worth of damage to a back door on the property.
I mean, actually, seems like it could have been much worse. I mean, listen, it's no fun when somebody invades your space, that's for sure. But $20,000 and $1,000 worth of damage, it definitely could have been worse.
We're going to come back to that $20,000 in just a second.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes was asked about it, and here's what he said.
It's frustrating. It's disappointing. But, I mean, I can't get into too many of the details because the investigation is still ongoing. But obviously something that you don't want to happen to really anybody, but obviously yourself.
So here's what I keep thinking.
What's worse, if you're an NFL fan, is that if Travis and Patrick Mahomes are upset or if they're disappointed in you?
Both. All I kept thinking
it's
is
like your dad.
Right.
I'm so disappointed in you.
I just think those are not the guys you probably want to mess with.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But here's what their security guard said.
Okay.
And when I heard this, I was like, yeah, duh.
Sounds to me like an inside job.
It had to be an inside job.
Oh, yeah. Who did it?
Well, now, because now I'm a detective.
Yeah.
Because you know I have.
Totally. Because
like,
you have access to the internet and all that stuff.
It's
and,
true.
Right.
I know how to go to www.things. So
yeah.
I've been able to do a little bit of research.
Right. What have you come up with?
So they were inside Travis Kelce's house just for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to lift $20,000. So you know what that means?
They knew where it was.
Right. Yeah. Or he doesn't know how to hide money.
Most common places, right? Your sock drawer, right?
Yeah.
Any sort of like, you know, little looking box or cabinet that's on top of your dresser or whatever. I mean, these are the quickest places people will look. The freezer, that was a popular choice
for
a while.
Mirrors, under the mattress?
Yeah.
That was big for like our grandparents.
Yeah. Well, your grandparents, you always got to check the couch.
Yes.
If your grandparents pass away because there still might be stuffed in there.
Right. But it turns out that there should be better places that you're hiding your cash around your house now. And clearly
okay.
Travis Kelce didn't know where they were because somebody was able to walk into his house and within 3 minutes take $20,000 and walk out.
Do you think to yourself, though, like in his house, there was probably another $100,000 or whatever, give or take, and they didn't get to that?
So I never have cash, period.
Yeah.
In my house, in my bank account,
right.
Anywhere, really.
I mean, you're not wealthy, though.
Yeah.
Like Travis Kelce.
It's true. So I can't imagine having $20,000 just lying around that there's access to at any given time. To me, that it's unfathomable.
They
you know?
Go out. Right? They go out
and
when
pay
they,
cash?
The people come home and it
don't
I mean
have
maybe
credit cards?
I don't know, right? Like maybe like some gamble. I don't know, any of those things.
So I was looking online for the best new places to hide your money in your home.
Okay, this is informative.
For me,
I like
it
this.
Might be like a $50 bill for emergencies, right? Where are you gonna find my $50 bill?
In your teenager's piggy bank.
All right, it's true.
Probably the best bet.
Yeah. So they're saying that you can tape it to the back of old paint cans. In your basement or wherever your old paint cans are.
I mean, you could put it inside the old paint can.
Right.
Yeah. If it's empty. Right. Okay.
Fake plumbing pipes.
Yeah.
So wrap it up. I'm never going to remember which plumbing pipe
is
it
fake
is.
And real.
Yeah.
Right? Like what do you put it in your wall then?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Wait, so that's long-term planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another option is a litter box. And all I thought was gross. So gross. Like at the bottom, like you put it in a plastic bag like a Ziploc. That's for people like me that need to hide $50, not $20,000. How do you put $20,000 in a litter box? It takes up the whole thing, right?
So I can't even fathom moves. I can't even imagine it. He's not going to win. I think he thinks this is going to be a very easy night. It's not going to be an easy night.
It's going to be a big night tomorrow night, that's for sure.
Oh, it's on Fight Night!
Trend
Night, Anna Zapp. Fight Night.
Trending is powered by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. Tomorrow night, it's finally happening on Netflix. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. I've been hearing about this fight for 6 years. It feels like it's never, ever actually going to happen.
You know, let me tell you what's exciting about this. A number of things here, Anna. Number one, boxing hasn't been a big deal for most people in a long time. It's not mainstream. UFC fight game has really taken over. But this is Mike Tyson at Texas Cowboys Stadium in front of all these people. It's a massive spectacle here. It's the biggest women's fight happening right before that. It's Jake Paul. It's all that.
But Jake Paul, wasn't he a YouTuber? And now all of a sudden he's decided he's going to fight Mike Tyson? This is his thing.
In the fight game, though, I mean, like, he's had 8 fights. And, you know, every one of them, it's must-see watch. It's must-watch TV. And this is free on Netflix. You've already got it.
All right. So here's the thing. This was supposed to happen back in in July. Then Tyson had some ulcers or something, and they pushed it back till now, and, yeah. and here we are. Mike Tyson is 58. Jake Paul is 27. They've been talking about this fight and doing, like, docuseries on it on Netflix for months now, and they both talk a lot of trash.
I think it's going to be a war of ages.
The war of the ages.
Well, right, because one's young and one's old.
Well, right, because Mike Tyson, first of all, I thought Mike Tyson was 73. He's not.
No.
He's 58.
Why would you make him 73?
I don't know. I feel like because the way he talks and the way he looks, he's just old.
Oh, come on.
Then I realized he got hit in the head a lot of times.
Yeah, and he's got a face tattoo. How can you see age through that?
First of all, no one else can do this but me, I believe. And like you said, this is the greatest boxing match in the history of boxing.
Mm. It's the greatest.
It's because I'm a part of it.
It's because he's a part of it.
That's right.
I don't know if this is the greatest boxing
Lewis
match
and Frazier,
of all time.
Ali.
Remember the George Foreman? Like, yeah, that, I mean, was, that was
recently
really,
Canelo. You know, Fury and...
Yeah.
Right. Okay, mm-hmm. Wilder. Right.
It's just my time. The universe know it. The gods know it.
They
know
it.
And you're going to know it. Plain and simple.
Okay. For next week. We'll see.
The gods know it. The gods know it.
Can't wait.
Yeah. And then Jake Paul said that this is, he's boring and that nobody wants to watch him fight because he's
Mike
boring
Tyson.
And old. Yeah, Mike Tyson. Yeah. I was like, Mike Tyson. Yeah, there's two different Mike Tysons. There's Mike Tyson when we were young and like he was a killer. You know,
he was crazy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you never knew what was going to happen.
Then he was like the hangover Mike Tyson where he almost became like a character that you're like, yeah. It's like my crazy uncle.
I love podcast Mike Tyson. He makes me cry. He makes me want to, you know, really get in touch with my feelings and be vulnerable. But I did love the diamond encrusted ear covers that Jake Paul had there. So
I will say
it's going to be wild.
It's not going to be wild because it's fake. I 100% believe this is like WWE stuff. This is scripted and it's going to be fake. And I think that Tyson's going to win it. Jake Paul's going to take the dive.
No.
Yes, he is. And he's all doing it for the money because Jake Paul is an entertainer.
I mean, right.
That's what he is.
Yes, but the villain makes more money than ever, I'm telling you.
I don't think so.
Jake Paul wins in...
Three fake rounds? No.
We'll be watching. Mm-hmm.
The Zach Bryan chicken fry breakup. You may have heard a lot about this celebrity breakup and have no idea what's happening or who these people are. We're going to navigate it all together.
Gosh, I mean, this thing has taken on a life of its own. This is must-hear viewing, I guess, basically. I don't know which way you do it, but you got to know what's happening there.
So Julie, our new producer, is going to help us out with like three random things that make this story even weirder and why everybody's talking about it. So first, let's start with like who are these people, right? Zach Bryan, he's a famous country singer. You may know him from this hit. Got it. Yeah, that guy. All right, I know who he is.
Okay.
And Brianna LaPaglia is also known as Chicken Fry. That's why people call her Chicken Fry. And she's like a famous podcaster, and she talked about how she got her name Chicken Fry.
And that's where the name Chicken Fry actually came from. I made a Vine where I thought my leg looked like a Burger King chicken fry, and then it went viral, and I'm like, I'm sick with the Chicken Fry name. So that's why I made my TikTok name that, made the Hangover videos, and Barstool DM'd me one day.
Yeah, and now she works on Barstool. Now, it's important to note that Brianna LaPaglia Chicken Fry has no relation whatsoever to the Zach Brown Band song Chicken Fry.
Right, but it's just another part, weird circle
right.
part of this story here.
And also, the other confusing part is Zach Brown mm-hmm. and Zach Bryan
are not the same person.
They're two different people.
It actually wouldn't be all that confusing if people would just listen to their names, but they figure country guy, Zach, it's got to be the same dude,
Zach
right?
Brown, Zach Bryan.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, no.
It's not.
So they were dating and then they break up, and this is where the things get ugly. $12 million is how much she was offered to sign an NDA about the breakup.
I mean, that should tell you that there's some secrets in there that people don't want out, right?
Mm-hmm. And here's what she said about it.
This episode and me not taking the money, like, it's not just for me. It's for anyone else that's been emotionally abused. It's for people that don't have a support system. The last year of my life has been the hardest year of my life dealing with the abuse from this dude.
Okay, so it's all ugly.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds really serious, obviously, yep. right? Now, listen, if you get involved with somebody and you're famous, then you know, NDA is probably pretty, you know, normal for that situation, but you get involved with somebody else who's a personality in their own right, and you want to protect yourself. Now, on the other hand, if you're a scumbag...
Mm-hmm. Now, Julie, tell us the three things that make this story even weirder.
Okay.
So the first and the newest thing that's going on is that he allegedly took Stump, their cat, yeah. that they adopted. and has it in Oklahoma, and she's pretty upset about it.
Because she claims he doesn't even like cats. Right. He just took the cat out of spite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
That happens a lot of times in relationships.
Right. Yeah. No, it's pretty awful. So the second thing that they've got going on.
Okay. So what else?
So Zach blocked Brianna immediately after their breakup and posting on social media saying that they broke up without her permission or communication.
Yeah.
Just blocked her.
Just ghosted.
Okay.
I think it's fine that he did that.
Well, I mean, like once you throw down the gauntlet.
But okay, but she didn't even tell her parents yet, right, Julie?
Yeah,
like,
that's
so it's like she didn't even tell people that they had broken up yet, and he already made a public spectacle out of it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there should have been a heads up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But what else?
That one's pretty bad. But the worst one we've got. He was caught by fans on his new reactivated dating account on Raya.
Oh!
Rick, can you imagine you're dating somebody, you're in a serious relationship, and all of a sudden you find out they're on Raya, which is like the weird celebrity one where you have to make $1 billion to be part of it?
Oh, is that?
It's like a community of people on there.
I've never heard of that.
We've talked about it at length, Raven, in the past. Raya's where all the famous rich people go to find other famous rich people to date.
And apparently Brianna's friends.
Yeah.
Who tells him.
They did not short him out on that one.
Oh, well, it sounds like a mess, but we'll keep an eye on it. Wow.
What are the rules of the play date at your house? Listen to this crazy person.
Can we normalize sending the other family money for play dates?
What? What do you mean? You mean like I invite another child to my house and then I want
to... Like I have to pay you to entertain my kids? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, no, that's what she wants. Here, she continues.
So after the play date, I text your mom and I said, thanks for letting Jamie play today. Please help out with your share of the expenses for the play date, totaling $15 via Venmo. Let's do it again sometime.
So, I mean, if you drop off your kid and it's a known situation where you drop them off at somebody else's house and they have like an itinerary of entertainment on a daily basis, like we took them to the museum or the zoo or something like that, that would make sense.
Right. But
that's a field trip.
If you're coming to my house to play with my daughter and her Barbies and I give you a yogurt pouch, I'm not going to Venmo request you.
Yeah.
What do you? To me, that's nuts, right? Yeah. Like, doesn't it make any sense at all?
Yeah, that is a little bit nuts, right? Because, I mean, after all, that other person is a guest, whether they're, 2.5 feet tall and 4 years old or not, they're a guest.
What are the rules of the play date at your house? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
No glitter.
No.
Oh, smart one.
Good rule.
That's a good rule.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. Anything else is fine. No glitter.
Glitter typically associated with glue. Do you have an area where only glue is available? Like, because I don't feel like glue is something we should just have free roaming in the house either.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a mini table. It's like a tiny little folding table with two little chairs. She's only allowed to do crafts on that table. She can destroy that table, but don't go on my couches. Don't go on the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. Don't go in the dining room.
Glitter's not going to stay on that table.
No, that's true. That's right.
But no glitter in the house.
Nope.
Yeah, not even on the table.
Not at all.
Jordan, what are the rules of the play date at your house?
So, first of all, you have to meet the parents. Second of all, the shoes are off. There's no shoes in the house. And see, with pickups, like, we're switching. I'm not picking up the friend every time to come over. Because that's happened. And it's like I've become an Uber service for like play dates. We have to trade that off.
Fair enough. Question. Let's say the parents came over with the kids or, just in general, adults came over to your house. Are you making them take off the shoes or just kids?
Definitely. Yeah. Adults as well.
I don't ask adults to take their shoes off when they come to my house.
Me neither.
And when they offer, I'm kind of like, no, that's fine, because the truth is I don't want to see your socks.
It's weird. If you don't know somebody well and they walk in your house, like you don't want them barefoot.
No.
I found that some contractors, they automatically take their shoes off.
Oh, yeah.
And I think and they're probably told to do that. But I always think it's weird when you see like a grown man in like overalls and a clipboard and he's got like a tool belt on and he's standing like in your bedroom and he's got no shoes on. It's just weird.
Yeah,
so
no,
weird.
I prefer the shoe booties.
Yeah.
Right? Put the shoe booties on then if you're going to do that. But kids, I get it.
Yeah.
Kids' shoes, you don't know what could be on those shoes. Anything could be on those shoes.
I went to pick up at a birthday party one time and I was with my best friend Danielle. Our girls are the same age. We walk in and the first thing they say is, please remove your shoes. They were like over the calf boots and I had just bought them and I couldn't even get them on.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was not going to be able to get these off.
Just walk out.
Oh my, no. Danielle she's pulling them off my feet.
Oh my gosh.
Like we're just making a scene in the entranceway, the foyer of this house and all the kids are downstairs at a party. Oh, it was awful. And then I couldn't get them back on when we had to leave. So I just kind of like half did it and then just walked out of my freaking socks and holding the shoes in my hands.
To me, this is the perfect example why kids need cell phones. I'm out front. Let's go.
I mean, you can't do that when they're like three.
No. Yeah. No, but the 15-year-old, you better get out of here.
Listen to this crazy lady.
Can we normalize sending the other family money for playdates?
She wants to Venmo request people when the kids come over for playdates with her kids.
Oh, that seems crazy. Like half the time when I was going over, hanging over at my friend's house, their parents didn't even know. They'd show up. They'd be like, oh, you're here again?
Well, that's because you're older. When you're little and you have to do like the planned playdates for who's going to pick up from school and all that, it's a little bit different. I understand what she's saying. Like times are tough. Inflation is high. But I would never in a million years ask another parent like, oh, can your child come over and can you also send a check for $15 with her? Like,
it's not babysitting. It's somebody that's coming over as a guest.
Yes, but there are rules of the play date. Like when you have kids over, what are the rules at your house? Amanda?
No parents lingering after pickup. You got to pick up your kid and get out.
Oh, you know what? That's a good one.
How do you enforce that? I want to know.
I have that kid ready on, waiting, looking out the window.
Yeah, right.
As soon as my dog barks, I'm pushing that kid out the door.
So they never even make it to your kitchen counter because they do. Sometimes they hover around the island, right? Like they want you to offer them a drink or something like that. And I'll offer you a drink and you put your butt in that seat. You may be there for 45 minutes and I want you gone.
It's so funny.
You're done. Your afternoon is over.
Right. Right.
Nadia, the rules of the play date at your house, what are they?
Be free, be you. It's okay with me. I don't mind if it's one-on-one. I don't mind if it's multiple kids. I teach the kids boundaries when they are in my home, and they are extremely creative. I give them the space to create and be. If they step out of line, then there are boundaries, and it works.
I don't think I even understand what she's saying.
It sounds to me like that Netflix show where the warden comes in and he lets everybody's doors be open. What was that, locked up, locked in, whatever?
It's a prison show?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So you're associating a play date with a prison show?
Well, you know, when I hear that, give them the space to creative, I just think of an empty room. You know, does that mean that they're painting? Does that mean that they're writing or whatever? It sounds like I've got them doing odd jobs for me.
You need to have parents that are kind of on the same page as you, because when you have different type of, you know, household structures coming in play, then that's when it becomes a little bit chaotic.
That was the number one reason why I went to friends' houses, because I was like, I know places where there are no rules.
I had one friend that her mom would let you do anything.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But I it was almost too much and I was afraid. Because it was like, there's no way you don't get in trouble after you leave that house. Like, there's no way things that she would let you get away with. This is like my teenage years when there's a lot more bad things you can get into.
That was at Danny Walker's house. Danny Walker's house, we could get away with anything. Brian Greeno's house, we couldn't get away with nothing. Mm-hmm. If his mom was out, that was one thing. But if she was home and she figured it out, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, we were dead.
Lou, how about you? What's the play date rule you have at your house?
All right, so I have three. No closed doors. Don't go in my fridge without asking. Make noise so I know you're alive.
Yeah. Not bad rules.
The door one, I feel like, is universal. That's like a lot of houses you go to.
Yeah, actually, I've been fighting my little one. All of a sudden, her new thing is she locks her bedroom door. She's six. Like, what?
That's bad.
Since when? Why are you locking your door?
Right.
Oh, I told her. I pulled my dad. I said, I will take this door right off its hinges.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like I was nuts. I'm like, you don't think I can do it?
Yeah. Watch. No, you can do it quickly.
I'll call daddy.
You call daddy.
I can't do it. But daddy can take it right off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, because she can lock herself in there and everything, too.
Yes.
Like, come on.
I don't understand why they do that. Okay, yes.
It's like when they discover that they have a space.
That they can give themselves their own privacy.
They have to figure out what those boundaries are. But those are good rules.
You don't have privacy yet. It doesn't work that way.
No, earned, not given. I'm with you. Yeah, and stay out of my fridge.
Right, he's hungry.
I like that. But also, I want to hear you, because if you're quiet, I know you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, something's not right.
Such an interesting thing. I never thought about it. What do you wear on Thanksgiving? Because, you know, like when you get to the holidays, and I feel like when it's those big religious holidays, you get dressed up because you feel like that's the right thing to do. It's a respect. You're going to your house of worship, whatever you're doing, and there's certain things you should wear. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the rules are a little bit more relaxed than on Christmas or whatever, religious or not, I would say. You're right. Christmas is typically a dress-up holiday, right? As Thanksgiving, you know, you're a guest, you're at somebody else's house, the message of the day is kind of being cozy. I wear two outfits. Like, there's the first one that I go outside and I'm, like, you know, frying the turkey in, because, you know, if not, I'm going to walk in and I'm just going to smell all like fried turkey.
What does it look like?
I mean, like jeans.
Okay.
And you know, whatever, when I go out in the morning, and you know, obviously there's going to be a coat on because it's a little bit cool where I am. And as long as, you know, the turkey doesn't explode and I don't catch the house on fire, I'll be back in, and then I'll change into a nice, you know, kind of button up shirt, but just probably still jeans.
Huh.
I'm casual. I'm relaxed.
One year. So today is Dakota's birthday. My little one, she's 6 years old. Mm. Happy birthday, princess.
Happy birthday.
And I remember that because Thanksgiving is so close to her birthday,
yeah,
that her first, like the first year that we had her, it was like 5 days later, it was Thanksgiving.
So people are kind of worn out at that point,
well,
right?
I was worn out. And I remember that I look at those pictures of me on Thanksgiving and I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And I can't stand that I couldn't pull myself together to put on a pair of jeans.
Oh, man.
Even to this day, when I look at those pictures, I'm like, oh, come on, Anna. You couldn't, like, fix yourself. And then I'm like, I'm 5 days postpartum. Like, give yourself a break.
See, I look at jeans as, that's easy, right? Like, you know.
But the way that boys wear jeans, yeah, and the way that girls wear jeans, I think, are two different things.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
My husband, jeans are an everyday occurrence. Like, even if I say we're going to bum it and we're going to go to Walmart,
mm-hmm,
he'll still put on a pair of jeans.
Right.
When I'm bumming it, I'm putting on leggings,
yoga pants, yoga, whatever. Yeah, that, yeah, type of stuff.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So I've kind of come to a custom that Thanksgiving is a dress-up holiday,
mm-hmm,
but a business casual,
right,
dress-up.
Okay.
So
that's the level of it. Right.
You got to wear jeans and a nice sweater.
Yeah.
But you got to look
good. It's not an interview, yeah, but if you ran into somebody on the street, they'd be like, oh, okay, they're a normal person.
You got to put some makeup on. You got to fix your hair.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, roll into wherever you're going looking like a slob.
I would suggest ironing your shirt if you're a guy. Do that.
But do you know that I just read this article about how people get really dressed up for Thanksgiving, and they're saying it's the most dressed up holiday of the year?
Really?
And I thought that was interesting.
I think these other people are going to different parties than you and I.
I didn't realize there was so much differences between what families do. What do you wear on Thanksgiving? Tori?
A sleeveless green dress with green leggings, mm, and a long sleeve shirt underneath it.
Kind of like a jumper thing.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, also like Christmas, mm-hmm, is coming up.
No, a lot of people, yeah, start wearing the red and green on Thanksgiving, like symbolizing the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. It's, yeah, festive.
And if you wear a cozy dress, kind of give some forgiveness when you've had your third helping of sweet potatoes.
Bob, I am desperate to know, what are you wearing on Thanksgiving?
Well, it's funny that Anna was talking about it because we are a massive dress down family. It is sweatpants. It is dress down. It all goes into the food. And just relaxing and enjoying yourselves.
So if somebody shows up, you know, as a guest or a plus one or somebody with your family and they're not like in pajamas or sweatpants, are you guys all like, oh, you make a big deal out of it?
Well, we certainly make fun of them. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we,
that's what I figured. Right. 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 They'll be ridiculed forever. Right. Oh, you're so fancy. Exactly. They're like, I got to go three other places. They're like, no, fancy pants. You're too good for us.
Absolutely. I need the space. I need the space in my pants.
Yeah.
I understand. Space in your pants is important.
Just because I get it doesn't mean that this doesn't make me uncomfortable.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Have a great holiday. Chris, what are you wearing for Thanksgiving?
Pajamas. Our whole family wears pajamas, and then after dinner, we start decorating the Christmas tree. So we try to do it as comfy as possible. If we're going out or if we're going to other families, then we'll do, like, all dressed up.
Right. If we've got to deal with other families or other people, that's one thing. But if it's just us or the people that we're used to, forget it. Hey, Avery, what are you wearing to Thanksgiving?
I always wear a dress or a skirt. I dress up.
You dress up.
My kids dress up too.
So do you go to somebody else's house or is it at your house?
I always host. So I always have to be in something nice, but in short sleeves because I'm always hot and cooking.
Right. So you're handling it all.
Wow.
But you're looking so put together.
I always have to get myself a cute apron.
So I always think it's so weird to have people at my house and then have to put on makeup and get really dressed up and know that I'm just going downstairs.
Mm, so you're half the woman that she is.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, Rita, what do you wear on Thanksgiving?
I wear jeans, boots, and I try to wear, like, you know, fall colors. And I usually wear, like, a sweater, but I try to keep it sleeveless. You know, so it's still, like, you know, cozy and warm, but I need to have my arms free, so
smart.
Because I'm always hosting.
Oh. Well, you're hosting, too.
Everybody's hosting.
Yeah.
But your outfit is very similar to what I wear, the jeans, the boots, because, you know, you want to feel fallish, but But you are so smart to wear a sleeveless sweater. You always wear a sweater because it fits the time and the theme. But then it's 1,000 degrees in the kitchen and where you're eating. And you're like just sweating while you're eating turkey.
You sweat up the pits.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Oh, gosh,
it's confession.
Well, I don't something.
But
too
Anna, I see the look in her face. She sweated up pits at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, I got to air my armpits. I think I have to bring back the sleeveless sweater. I don't even have one anymore.
It's such a terrible thing when you're in somebody else's house and you can't control the thermostat.
It's true.
Right? Like, it's so uncomfortable.
We did an Instagram poll, and 44% of people say they wear jeans. 19% say they wear sweatpants. 30% said dressier than the above options. And 6% said other, and I wondered what other could possibly be. And
a costume.
I looked at our text line.
Yeah.
Renee wrote, I wear cropped velvet pants. That's definitely other.
I didn't know that was a category.
Cropped velvet pants. Mm-hmm. That is specific for Thanksgiving wear.
I'm sure it'll be a wonderful holiday.
What couple?
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right.
Couples Court is powered by Ro.co. Are GLP-1s right for you? Go to Ro.co/Anna to find out if you're covered for free.
For box warning and full safety information, go to ro.co/safety. Prescription only. Amanda and Charles. Amanda, let's start with you. What's going on?
So, you know, Thanksgiving is around the corner, and our families, my husband and my husband Charles and my family are coming over to ours, and it's, you know, very stressful, very exciting, lots of planning. I want to make sure everything's perfect. There's a lot of people coming with a lot of things they want right as well. And Charles' sister just wants to bring a puppy. And we have two toddlers who are a little bit, you know, edgy, to put it nicely. And a puppy and our two kids would be a total disaster. And on top of it, the dog probably sheds and can, you know, probably like destroy furniture. And it's a puppy, so they're very unpredictable. And Charles keeps saying, oh, it's no big deal. But it is a huge problem. There's a lot of things, and he's not considering my already mounting stress with the situation.
Mm. Wait, she's staying at the house or she's just coming to eat?
I think she's staying like at least one or two nights.
Oh.
Well, that adds a lot to it.
Right.
One way or the other, both for your consideration and hers. Charles, what's your side of this?
I mean, look, I know puppies are a lot, but it's going to be good in the long run because, A, the puppy's an emotional support dog for my sister, so she has to come with it. And, B, it'll be good to expose the kids to puppies at this age because I know that they haven't been yet. So it's a good expose for them to start getting that practice in to know how to treat animals. My sister is great with the kids, and we need all the help we can get. It's going to be a hectic holiday. I think you're only looking at the negatives and not what we can get out of it. My sister's great. She's like a huge help, and she'll take care of the dog. Like, if it poops in the house, she'll clean it up, you know? Like, it's going to be okay.
Let's do pros and cons here, Anna. Pros and cons. Pros to the puppy being in the house.
Well, it's the sister's, you know, comfort animal.
Yeah.
So that's a huge pro.
Yeah,
it
it's
makes
cute.
Her comfortable.
Right. It's cute.
The kids will be excited to see it.
Right. Okay. Those three things are all valid. Anything else that we could think of right there? All those seem pretty good.
No.
Right. Cons.
Cons. The kids are going to torment that dog. You don't know if there's going to be an allergy in the house. I only say that because I come from a pet allergy home right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be chaotic. I agree with you.
Yeah. Whenever.
Chaotic.
Yeah, when there's a puppy is different than an older dog, so a puppy is going to be running around crazy. You don't know, is it going to have an accident? Most likely, it probably will.
Oh, definitely. There's going to be an accident. It's a new dog in a new house. Yeah.
It's going to be a chaos when you're trying to have people over your home. I mean, all of that is true.
It kind of takes over. On the other hand, puppies are really cute. I don't know. Do you let a family member come into town and stay at your house for, let's call it, two nights around the holiday with a new puppy when yours is not a dog house?
How would you feel if a four-legged little furry friend invited themselves over your house for Thanksgiving? Huh? It's kind of what happened. Amanda and Charles are hosting Thanksgiving at their house. They have two small toddlers that, you know, Amanda says are toddlers. They are rambunctious and they run around. And Amanda is not a dog person. So she was not happy when her sister-in-law, Charles' little sister, says, I'm coming, going to spend the night, and I'm bringing my new puppy.
Charles says, we just got to deal with it. It's an emotional support dog. She's great with the dog. She's great with the kids. She'll take care of all this stuff. But Amanda says, it's just going to be chaos. I've already got the stress of everybody coming over. You want it to be perfect. And this is a variable I did not account for.
What do you think? Is she overreacting? Maria, whose side are you on?
I think that the puppy should be able to be brought to Thanksgiving as a plus one because the puppy's cute. You know, everybody loves puppies, and I think it'd be a great idea.
You know what? If somebody else brings a puppy to your Thanksgiving dinner, you know what you're getting, Anna? Puppy kisses.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. You both said something that's not true. One, I don't like puppy kisses from any puppy except my own dog.
Oh,
right? And not all people are dog people.
No,
not
put that puppy right in my lap. Does this puppy want to help me carve the turkey? It seems hygienic.
What do you do when a four-legged furry friend gets invited to your Thanksgiving dinner and it wasn't by you? Do you let them come? The Couples Court Verdict is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro.
Amanda doesn't want Charles' younger sister, her sister-in-law, bringing her new emotional support puppy to dinner. They've got two toddlers of their own. They said that this whole thing is going to be a mess if you introduce a new dog on a holiday like this when the house is already full of guests. But, you know, at this point, Charles says, what am I supposed to do? It's my sister.
And she's going to spend the night. And here's the thing. She didn't ask. She said she was taking her. I kind of understand where Amanda's coming from. Amanda's not a dog person. Not everybody is a dog person. Destiny.
I'm on the side of not bringing the dog.
Really?
I have a sister who has two dogs, and I have five dogs of my own.
Oh, okay.
So I'm coming from the side of, you know, even if we had no dogs, adding a dog or two with food around, too, just causes too much chaos.
Yeah, I mean, seven dogs for the holiday, and then somebody else brings another dog. You're right.
There's nowhere for the humans to sit at the table when you bring seven dogs at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Hi, Angelina. You're on the wife's side. Tell us why.
So, like, I get it's a puppy. Everyone loves puppies, but it's her house. Like, if she doesn't want the animal, she doesn't want to deal with the puppy's rambunctiousness, like, she should have a say and be able to say no. Like, it's not okay. Like, puppies get into things. They can cause a lot of, like, destruction.
Right. So, you know what? How hard is it, though, if the toddlers already know the puppy was coming? Oh, you're the worst mom ever.
Nah.
No?
I don't think so. Like, they'll forget about it. They'll get distracted by other things.
Right. By the time they're five, they won't even remember this.
Hey, Carol, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely for bring the puppy. I brought my puppy to Thanksgiving, and in fact, I had two puppies. I had two French Bulldog puppies, and I couldn't leave them home for, like, that amount of time. And at first, my sister was like, oh, my God. But they brought so much joy to this day, and I was very responsible for them.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Amanda, our audience agreed with you. If you're not a pet house and now you're bringing in a pet, it causes a lot of chaos when you already are having a stressful holiday. Maybe letting your sister know, if you want to stay somewhere else, that's great, but we'd prefer not to have the dog here. Charles, you got to be with Amanda on this.
I mean, it's going to be difficult because my sister's not going to leave that dog. I'm not going to get into it, but the dog stays at her hip. It's like it's keeping her emotionally stable. So
I understand, you know, your situation. You're in a tough spot, but I also definitely understand Amanda's position. There's a lot to running the household on a day like that. It's not like you guys have met this dog before. If the dog had been over 2 weeks before, Amanda, you might be like, oh, we're going to be fine. Right. But just showing up that day, like,
exactly.
I'm a dog guy. I'd let every dog in my house, but with the kids, it's a lot.
You know how I feel. My daughter is allergic to our own dog. It's got its own set of challenges because I refuse to get rid of our dog. So I can't imagine bringing more pets into my home when food is being served and I would have a nervous breakdown.
Toddlers are loud, right? They're running from the room.
Right.
They're excited.
And they don't
understand. You've got family
that pull tails. They poke in eyes. I mean, I live through it. I know. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck, guys. But Amanda, I mean, the votes are with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much access you grant to this dog and the sister. I mean, maybe you guys put her up in a hotel. while, and she could come over with a while for the meal or whatever. You know, maybe that works. I don't know.
There's a lot of options. Yeah, there's Rover. There's all these apps where people can just take care of your dog for a couple of hours.
It's
yeah.
true.
Well, for 2 days.
I've used Rover before. It was good. All right, if you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com. $1,700 is the cash jackpot today for Can't Beat Raven. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/AnnaAndRaven. Amanda, you ready to play today?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. That big door is going to close, and he's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. Number one, there are rumors that Selena Gomez and her boyfriend, Benny Blanco, are going to be exchanging vows soon. What was the Disney Channel show in the early 2000s that Selena starred in with David Henry?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Number two, both J.C. Chazes and Joey Fatone will be joining Broadway show Anne Juliet for limited time engagements. They were part of what boy band?
NSYNC.
Number three, Lady Gaga will be in Wednesday season 2, but there's no word on what her role is. What's Wednesday's last name?
Adams.
Number four, the film The Red One opens this weekend. Big stars are in it like Dwayne Johnson and Chris Evans, but it's J.K. Simmons that plays what legendary figure?
I don't know that one.
Number five, My Little Pony was finally inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame after being nominated 7 times. What's the name of the popular pink pony with 3 party balloons as her cutie mark?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know that one either.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Ew. 3 out of 5 for Amanda.
Great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, there's rumors that Selena Gomez and her boyfriend, Benny Blanco, they're going to get married soon.
Okay.
I hope that's true. I kind of love them together. What was the Disney Channel show in the early 2000s that Selena starred in with David Henry?
Isn't it Wizards of Waverly Place?
Yes, number two.
It's back, right? Like there's some sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a sequel that's going on right now about it. Number two, both J.C. Chazes and Joey Fatone will be joining Broadway show Anne Juliet for limited time engagements. They were part of what boy band?
NSYNC.
Number three, Lady Gaga will be in Wednesday season 2, but there's no word on what her role is yet. What's Wednesday's last name?
Adams.
Yep, you guys are tied. Number four, the film The Red One opens this weekend. Big stars are in it like Dwayne Johnson and Chris Evans, but it's J.K. Simmons that plays what legendary figure?
He's Santa.
Santa Claus. And number five, My Little Pony was finally inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame after being nominated 7 times.
Wow.
What's the name of the popular pink pony with 3 party balloons as her cutie mark?
You know, I don't know. I'm just going to take a shot and say Stardust.
No, it's Pinkie Pie.
Oh, I should have definitely known that.
All right, 4-3 today, Amanda. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Great. Thank you so much. It's Amanda and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,800 for a Friday tomorrow, Anna.
Oh, I hope you lose tomorrow on a Friday. You know I love when that happens.